Romans chapter 12 is where we're at today. And we're continuing our series that we started last week called Collide. And last week we kicked things off by looking into the biblical principle of standing firm in our faith. The world attempts to offer us a different set of values, one that includes things that are initially seductive or enticing, if you like that word better, but ultimately they are inconsistent and difficult to stand on. Well, how do we pursue the things of Christ? We allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit into all truth. When we do, we'll start to experience the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. But how do we keep that experience going day to day? I think God desires three things from us as we move forward in life after we lay the foundation. The first one I want to discuss today is that of being transformed. When I was a kid, I watched a lot of cartoons, right? G.I. Joe, Ninja Turtles. Ninja Turtles could be an illustration themselves, but there was one of them that was really cool, and that was Transformers. I never could afford the toys. The Transformer toys were really expensive because you had this really cool concept of a car or a jet turning into a robot. And that was really cool. This ordinary thing, a car. I think even one of them was a cassette tape. Y'all remember those? Cassette tapes. You had to use a pencil to make sure the tape was right before you put it in your player so that way it wouldn't get bound up. But, you know, I remember this one because I think I might have actually been able to get this one for Christmas. It was a cassette tape that actually worked, but it also transformed into a battle-ready robot. And then the movies came out in the early 2000s that the key that I remember from the movies was Bumblebee being this old beat-up VW Beetle. And as they're driving down the road, he scans a Camaro and transforms on the highway into a shiny new Camaro, which is pretty cool in and of itself, but then also can still transform into a battle-ready robot. I think that God desires a similar work to happen in our life, a transformation to take place. A lot of us have been tempted to follow the patterns of the world. We get caught up in sinful behavior that doesn't ultimately fulfill us. But God truly knows what's best. There's actually a verse in Scripture that talks about all of this. Right? And it's Romans 12:2. This is Paul writing, and here's what he has to say. Romans 12:2, he says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be," here's the key word, "transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Within this one verse, Paul gives us an equation. First, there's a subtraction. Then there's an addition. And finally, there's an outcome. And I want us to break this down together to find the keys of transformation for our lives. The first thing, if you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin, the first thing that Paul invites us to do is simply say no to the patterns of this world. We say no to the world. I'm a firm believer that in everyone's life there's there's kind of this pattern that we get into. Some might call it a rhythm. Some of us have healthy rhythms. Some people like to get up early every morning, they get their coffee, they sit down and spend time in God's Word and in prayer. And then perhaps they complete some kind of morning workout. And then they head off to work or to classes or whatever the case might be. Others, however, find ourselves caught up in unhealthy rhythms. And maybe it's a random rhythm. Or maybe you wake up at 6, or maybe you wake up at 7:15, or can be completely random, 7:19. I guess it depends on how many times you hit snooze. When When I was at 17, I made some really horrible decisions in my life, and I moved into some really unhealthy rhythms. And I've commented before that it was when I turned 21 is when I quit drinking alcohol. It was not fun anymore because it was legal. Between 17 and 21, drinking was a major part of my life. It was huge. It was just something that I took part in, and I don't, now looking back, I don't know why. But I knew people who worked in liquor stores. So buying it wasn't a problem. It was easy. Early on, it destroyed my collegiate life. I'd go to a frat party on Thursday night just to stumble into an 8 a.m. chem lab on Friday morning with a hangover. You don't ever want to deal with that. I bombed every class that year. I left school with a GPA less than a 1.0. That wasn't enough of a lesson, though, because the problem continued for a couple years after I left college. When I was in this season, I allowed the things of the world to lead me astray. I was stuck in this cycle, and I didn't know how to get out of it. However, I finally came to the conclusion that what God needed from me was a willingness to simply say, no. No more. I'm done. Game over. In your life right now, maybe the first step toward transformation for you is some internal dialogue. This is going to sound funny, but hear me out. Some sort of internal dialogue between you and your sinful habit. Maybe you need to say, sin, listen, you've been creeping back into my life every single time I convince myself that you're gone. And even if you continue to present yourself to me as a temptation, I'm telling you right now that the answer is going to be no. And the ultimate breakup line, listen, it's not me, it's you. Right? We need to maybe run this dialogue through in our head. A lot of us, I think, have an unhealthy rhythm in our life right now because we've been, as Paul says, trying to copy the behavior and the customs of this world. We've had a rhythm in our life. We will be in some form or fashion mirroring something. Either we mirror the world and its values, or we mirror the Lord in His. So here in this equation of Romans 12:2, we've received the initial subtraction that must take place. We just say no. But what do we add in this place? Well, we have to substitute something in there. Something's got to be put in place of the no. So we say yes. We say yes to the way, and way being capitalized, way being God's way. Once you are able to locate the worldly patterns that you've been following, the space is then created for God's transforming work to take place. Jesus desires that we live a life that is constantly seeking to grow. I'm not good with plants. I think I could kill an artificial plant. Just putting that out there. We've had this poinsettia up here throughout the Christmas season. It's a very good thing that nobody asked me to take care of it during the week. Because it would probably still need someone to take care of it on Sunday mornings. It requires water to grow. And for it to continue to grow, for it to continue to thrive, it needs more and more water. It wouldn't do well for me to walk in on a Monday morning and go, oh, the poinsettia needs water and pour my coffee into it. I mean, that wakes me up in the morning. Maybe that's what he needs. I don't know. We can't pour soda in it. Or, I'm sorry, this is in the north. We can't pour pop into it. We can't pour we don't have sweet tea up here. We can't pour tea into it. It has to be the purest form of all of those. It has to be water. That's the only way that the plant can grow. We have to have a pure form for us to grow. In our Romans 12:2 verse, Paul seems to be concerned with how we think. Our thought process is important when it comes to growth potential in the kingdom of God. Oftentimes, the temptation to follow worldly patterns and values begins with just the thought. But the same is true for the patterns of Christ. Spending time reading and studying God's word will give us the right type of thought processes and help us respond well when we're confronted with worldly things. And just like this plant, we can't simply water our minds and our hearts every once in a while. It has to be a healthy routine and rhythm that we enter into. And Scripture talks about this concept some. Flip over to the first Psalm. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. I ended up in Job. Close. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. There we go. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. David is a walking, talking example of the importance of meditating on God's word day and night. God desires that we not just have the word near us, but actually in us, in our minds, in our hearts, and through our lives. The work of transformation will only be done when we allow God to do it. Maybe something needs to change in your morning or your evening routines to allow God to transform you from the inside out by spending time with Him. By doing this, you've moved worldly distractions out of the way. And this allows God to come in and do His transforming work. We see in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that Paul tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. This is a great transformation. And it's a greater transformation than an old VW Beetle that transforms into a new Camaro and then into a battle-ready robot. It is a transformation that allows us to be grafted into the family of God, adopted as sons and daughters of the King with the same rights and privileges as natural born children of the King. That's a great transformation. This transformation begins with the renewing of our mind. Paul closes out Romans 12:2 with an outcome. Once we take these steps toward transformation, it says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, that which is good and pleasing and perfect. Our third point, if you're taking notes, is to discern your purpose. We know, even though Paul wrote this letter to the Romans many years ago, it's amazing that God knew that we would need it even now. There are a lot of people who have spent time searching tirelessly for their purpose in life. Maybe you've tried to find it in the things of the world and figured out you couldn't. Maybe you tried to find it in a relationship and figured out you couldn't. Maybe you tried to find it by achieving a certain social media status and figured out you couldn't. Christ is the only one who can give you meaning and purpose in your life. He's called you to do great things for His kingdom here on earth. You have giftings and you have abilities that no one else has. All of them for the building up of the church. But I wonder how many of us have yet to sense a calling from God because we've allowed our unhealthy rhythms to distract us from a relationship with Him. I think it was John MacArthur that said, If you have a sin that you're stuck in, it's a good possibility you're being a disobedient Christian. But it's even more likely that you're not a Christian at all. We got to break these cycles so we can have relationship with Him. We have to be able to sense God's leading. And we can't do that if we haven't been spending time with Him. The good news is, there is still time. Right now, to rewire your life. Scripture is full of instances where God makes it clear that there's still time to give Him your life. Even a thief hanging on a cross next to Jesus had a moment to receive eternal life. Joel chapter 2 verse 12 says, "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning." All the way back in Joel, the Lord invites us to give Him our lives. Run back to Him in repentance. Jesus came to this very earth, was tempted in the same worldly things that we're all tempted with. Yet He did not sin. Ultimately, He died on the cross for our sins so that we can be transformed into walking, talking reflections of Him. You are not too far gone. You are not out of the game. Christ wants you back. He has a seat for you at the table. I spent a long time looking into various religions. And if you remember from my testimony, I ultimately came to the conclusion that since not all of them can be right, they all must be wrong. Then I stopped caring. And it was a few years later when I was playing basketball with my best friend that I was shown the truth of Jesus. It's not too late. In fact, as long as you have breath in your lungs, it is never too late to make a profession of faith. For some of us, that means returning to a vibrant faith and relationship that you allowed to grow cold. You've allowed the distractions of life to collide with your faith, and you felt distance from God for some time. But you haven't quite mustered up the energy to do anything about it yet. Today can be your day. For some, this will be a new step of faith into a relationship that you've heard others talk about. But you're now ready to make that relationship your own. A life of faith is the most wild adventure you'll ever take. And the eternal reward is worth every single moment. If today you are ready to make that profession of faith, to give your life to Jesus, let today be the day that you do that. Remember, we talked about this already this morning. There was a perfect design that God had for all of creation. His way is so much better than our way. And He had it all set up from the beginning to be perfect. Then we messed it up. Horribly. As we do. Any time we do something that is in violation against what God has planned, we are sinning. And when we sin, we are then put, we find ourselves in this cycle of brokenness. And when we're in this cycle of brokenness, we all know what brokenness feels like, right? We try and do anything that we can to get out of it. Maybe we do like what I did when I was a teenager. We're going to search out all these different religions. One of them's got to help. Maybe we start drinking. Maybe we get into drugs. Maybe we get into a variety of different relationships. But, you know, and somehow we're thinking that this is going to fix everything. This is going to make everything right. But it's only temporary. All of these ridiculous things that we try, they're all temporary. And they all lead us back to the exact same place where we started. And that is a place of brokenness. We are busted, broken people, and we need to be fixed. And the only way that we can be fixed, the only way out of that cycle of brokenness is through Jesus. It is because of Jesus, who walked on this earth and lived a perfect, sinless life, and sacrificed himself on the cross so that we can have eternal life. That's the only way. That is it. All the multitude of other religions that exist in the world today are false.
Amen.
They're not going to get anybody anything other than eternal life in hell, separated from God. All of them. Because none of them agree with what Jesus said.
Right.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Amen.
That's it. If you haven't given your life to Jesus, your destination is hell. That is truth. That's a fact, Jack. When we repent of our sins and we turn and we run to the cross and wrap our arms around the feet of Jesus. Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me for my sin. Scripture says he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. And Jesus says, you just have to believe. And you will receive eternal life. That's what it takes. After we receive that salvation, then guess what's really cool? We are restored to that perfect design that God had. But also, we're sent into the broken world to bring others to Jesus. We have a task to do. I've said it for 4 years now. Sign on the door as you're going out. You're now entering into your mission field. I had a couple of kids from Taekwondo. I was waiting with them for their parents the other night. And they saw that above the door. And they're like, what does that mean? I said, every time we walk out of this building, that's to remind us that anybody we talk to, we need to talk to them about Jesus and how he died to save us from our sin. And he said, does every church have that? I said, no. One of them says, well, I know our church doesn't. Well, do you know Jesus? Yeah. Well, you don't sound too sure about it. Maybe you need to talk to mom and dad about that. We need to surrender our life to Jesus. That's how we get eternal life. That's how we receive forgiveness for our sin. That's how the penalty is paid. We receive receipt, paid in full. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have called us to transformation. That you call us to be transformed. That you call us to renew our minds so we can understand your will. God, if there's anyone who's hearing this message today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior of your life, let the day be the day that they surrender their life to you. Let us apply this word as we seek to know you more, that we would renew our minds, Lord, and we wouldn't conform to the ways of the world, but that we would renew our minds so we could be transformed. God, we love you. We thank you for the work that you are doing in us. In Jesus' name, amen.